Today we are starting off this new series, and it's called The Middle. And I'm really excited to be here and really excited to share with you from the Word of God. As I thought about beginning this series, there was one story that came to my mind that would be a good illustration of what I'm trying to bring forth tonight. And girls, please don't judge me for the next however long this story takes, but it happened and I feel like it's relevant to our talk. Right? And so when I first came to Dallas Seminary, to Dallas to go to school in 2010, 2.5 years ago, I left behind a girl that really, really liked me. And I really, liked her. We weren't dating or anything, but I knew that she liked me and, you know, I kind of liked her. And so in my mind, as I came to seminary, I was like, man, you know, I don't need any new relationships in my life. I'm good with this girl, you know, building that relationship or whatever. So the plan was to just come to seminary, pay attention to my schoolwork, you know, when the girls walk by, just whatever. But that plan works well in theory until a girl actually walks by. See how that works? And so I was walking into the elevator in my building one day, and this girl walked by. And I was like, hi. In my mind, I was like, nah, dude. You know, you have this girl back at home that really likes you, and you really like her. So, like, just forget about it. And so I kept, you know, kind of pushing the thought, you know, out of my mind. But this girl, she was resilient. Like, she didn't put herself out there or any of that, like, awkward, weird stuff. But she made sure that she was just in the right places at the right times. For example, I would be in class and she would come and sit next to me in class, you know, and she would make sure to have a sandwich with the crispiest piece of lettuce that, you know, you can find. So she would, you know, chew her sandwich. And I was like, is there a potato chip inside your sandwich? You know, it was just really low, just kind of, you know, I guess trying to get my attention, which she succeeded in doing. And so I started to like this girl, you know, in seminary, but I also, you know, like this girl back at home. So here begins the dilemma. Girls, please don't judge me. So I was trying to figure out how would I handle this situation. I was in the middle of two, you know, awesome girls. So, like, one night, just to give you an example, I was on the phone with this girl from back home, and I was, you know, talking to her, whatever, and the girl from seminary calls me, and so I put back home girl on hold. I sense the judgment, stop. And I start talking to this other girl, and she says, hey, my friend is in from out of town. You want to come, like, meet her or whatever? So, I mean, I can't tell the other girl, hey, like, this girl that I like wants me to come down and talk to her. So I was like, hey, I have this thing. I have to go. Sorry. So, yeah, sorry. Don't judge me, please. Okay, so I left that phone conversation, went downstairs and talked to this girl. And I mean, like, numerous situations like that happened over and over to the point where I was just in the middle of not knowing which girl to pick, what decision to make. So I was just kind of just stagnant. There's no way that I could move forward with this relationship or move forward with that relationship until I defined the relationships, right? And so later, to the end of the semester, around in December, when I was going back home, before I went back home, I knew that this girl was, you know, like, she couldn't wait to talk to me or whatever, but she didn't know about the Dallas girl. So I knew I had to make sure I take care of this situation before I went back home. So I called her, and I basically said, yeah, bye. Yeah, it's horrible. Please, I know. Guys, don't ever do that. Please, don't have a DTR conversation over the phone. Just bad. Bad advice. So that's what happened because I had to, you know, just make a choice at one point or another. And If you've ever, you know, been in a relationship, you know what that conversation is. The DTR, define the relationship, right? Where you say, you know, like, where are we? Are we dating? Are we just talking? Are we just texting? Whatever talking or texting means. But the relationship just has to be defined, right? Because if it's an important relationship, you define that relationship so that that person knows that it's important to you. Defining the relationship, however, doesn't only like fit in with just, you know, a boyfriend or girlfriend relationship. We define like friendships in general. You define a friendship whether you verbally, you know, like say it or you do it through your actions. So for example, the group of girls or the group of guys, you know, your friend group that you hang out with at school or at church or in your neighborhood or whatever, you define those relationships by spending time with them, by hanging out and, you know, growing together. And on the other side, you define relationships that, you know, they're just acquaintances or whatever by not hanging with them, by, you know, if you just see them at school or see them at Shoreline, you're just like, hey, I mean, that's the extent of that relationship. So intentionally or unintentionally, we define our relationships because they just have to be defined. Or else they'll be somewhere in the middle where I was, like between these two girls, not knowing which one I was going to choose, not knowing which one was important. Being in the middle is a terrible place to be. So let me see if I can define the middle a little bit more for you. The middle is a place between two things. The middle is halfway. The middle is the land of kinda, sorta. The middle is undefined. And for any relationship that you have, if you don't define it, it just stays in the middle. Because in relationships that are important, they get defined, right? You define those essential relationships that you have in your life. And the thing is, as I said before, if something is undefined, it kind of shows that it's not important. You get what I'm saying? If your relationship with your parents or your friends or whatever is just kind of, sort of, just kind of in the middle, not really spending time with them, not really caring to spend time with them, that kind of shows that that relationship isn't important to you. And so tonight I want to bring this idea across to you that for some of you in the audience, the middle is a perfect description of your relationship with Christ. You know, you're halfway. You're in that land of kind of, sorta. You're in that land of I'm not too sure, I don't know. The middle is between these two type of things when it relates to our relationship with Jesus. On the one hand, we have someone who is a, you know, fully devoted follower of Christ, right? And then on the other end of the spectrum, we have someone who says that they're a Christian, but Christ has no influence on their life, right? And then there's some people who are in the middle. They're not fully devoted to Christ, and they're not like Christ has no influence on their life. They're kind of sometimes here, sometimes there, sometimes all over the place. And the truth is that if your relationship with Christ is not something that you define, something that you make important, then you're just basically saying that my relationship with Jesus, I mean, it's not that important to me, right? A lot of you guys, sometime or another, you may be at school and you're faced with the decisions to live in the middle or live at a place where you're a fully devoted follower of Christ. But a lot of you just kind of feel comfortable in the middle because it's easy. It's easy to, you know, like fit in with the crowd. It's easy to do the things that the world wants you to do. It's easy to think the way that your friends think or to act the way they act or speak the way they speak or dress the way they dress because, I mean, that's what everyone's doing. So it's easy to fit in. All too commonly, what defines the relationships of Christians with Christ is that they say that they are Christian, they talk about Jesus, but their actions prove something different. Right? Let me throw this at you. Something I learned in class recently, so I'm really excited to kind of like, you know, teach some of the seminary stuff that I learned. All right, so there are three aspects that I want to talk about. Belief, value, and action. And so at the core of your person, if you want to put it like that, is what you believe, right? And so whatever you believe is important, that's something that you will value. And whatever you value, that's something that you'll act on, right? How many of you like play sports in high school? Any kind of sport, soccer, basketball, football, whatever. All right, so we have enough people to kind of use this illustration. So let's say you believe that playing your sport, whatever it is important because it keeps you in shape. You know, you have a community of teammates. Maybe it might help you to get a partial or full scholarship to college or whatever the case is. So you believe a sport is important, so you value it. And when you value it, it's something important to you, what do? You train hard. You practice hard. You eat well most of the time. So when you believe something is important, you will value it, and then you will act on it. And so it's kind of the same thing with your relationship with Jesus. If you believe that a vibrant relationship with Jesus is important, you will value it and you will act on it, right? You'll read the word. You'll spend some time in prayer. You'll spend time in community. You'll allow the word of God to transform the way you think so you can value the right things, so you can act the right ways, so that people can see that Christ makes a difference in your life. And when they ask you, like, what's wrong with you? How come you're different? You can tell them that Jesus is the one that's making a difference in your life. And so you make new followers who are transformed in their minds, transformed in their values, and transformed in their lives. But the truth is, that just can't happen if you're in the middle. If you're like, I don't know if I should follow Christ wholeheartedly or if I should just, you know, not do it. And so I would sum it up like this. An undefined relationship with Jesus means an unimportant relationship with Jesus. Write that down. If your relationship with Christ is undefined, what you're essentially saying is, it's not important to me. And Jesus deals with this very issue in the scripture we're going to jump in tonight. So if you have your Bible or phone, you can click, look for, or turn there. Revelation chapter 3. And we'll be looking at verses 15 and 16 really quickly. This church that Jesus is speaking to is dealing with the very issue that we're talking about right now. Their faith had grown stale. Their walk with Christ had become stagnant. Developing their relationship with Christ was no longer that important to them. And so Jesus writes these words in verses 15 and 16 to them. I'll just read it and not use this. All right, Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16. This is Christ speaking to this church in Laodicea. So he says, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Jesus is telling the people in this church, these Christians who are supposed to be fully devoted followers of Jesus, wake up, guys. Get out of the middle. Get out of that place where you're just stagnant and complacent and not wanting to go all in for me. You have to wake up. Because if you're in the middle, you're like lukewarm water. And what is lukewarm water good enough, good for, except to be spat out? This is what Jesus is saying. Let me see if I can illustrate this a little bit. How many of you in here like coffee? Coffee drinkers, like black coffee, like straight up, the good stuff. Good stuff. I hate coffee. Yes. It's nasty. It's black, bitter water. Like, I don't know how that can taste good to you. Like, seriously. There's some people who are like, oh, I don't put any sugar or any creamer because I like to drink the coffee really black and taste all the flavor. You know, you can taste how, you know, it was roasted, like blonde roast or dark roast. I'm like, no, I really can't taste the difference. It kind of all tastes the same. Nasty. But when a cup of coffee is hot, you know, that's when it tastes really good. But when you have a lukewarm cup of coffee, let's say you let it sit for a while and you forgot, you know, about it or whatever, and you just sip it and it's lukewarm, it does taste even nastier than usual for me, right? And that's kind of like what Jesus is saying. He's saying, listen, guys, I want to enjoy your life, but I can't enjoy it because it's like drinking lukewarm water. Like, if Jesus were to be speaking to us, like he's speaking to the church in Revelation 3, he would say, Shoreline, stop being flaky. You know, none of you guys, how many of you like a flaky person? Oh, you do? Oh, got it. One person. Like, when someone's flaky, it's kind of like you guys are planning a trip to go, you know, to the movies or go to hang out, and you call this one guy, it's always that one guy or girl, they're just always flaky. And you say, hey, you want to go to see this movie at 7 or whatever? And they say, yeah, like, definitely, positively, potentially, possibly, maybe for sure, I'll be there. And you're just like, I don't know what you're saying. And so Christ is saying to this church back then, and he's saying to us now, that he wants us to live a non-flaky life. He just doesn't want that to be the case for you or the case for me. But the reality of it is that you guys, it's so easy to just default to the middle. It's so easy to not be that fully devoted follower of Christ because of the pressures that are all around us and even inside of us. Now, this thought that Jesus is saying, man, your lives actually disgust me so much that I want to spit you out of my mouth, is kind of like, really? Wow. Let's throw that verse back up there one more time really quickly. Isn't it interesting that he says, I wish that you were one or the other? So, like, here's the deal. Like, Jesus is saying, hey, I even prefer you to be someone who claims to be a Christian and does nothing at all than to be someone in the middle that confuses those who aren't believers in Christ. Because sometimes you follow Christ and sometimes you don't, and your inconsistency just confuses them about what it means to be a true follower of Christ. He says, I wish you were cold, or I wish you were hot. Stop being in the middle. And that's what he's calling us to do even today. To not settle for just being in the middle, not settling for being in a place of complacency and laziness like the church in Laodicea was. He's calling us to way more than that, guys. He's calling us to live lives that count for him. I mean, I know you were at D-Town last week. I know that you're on that spiritual high, that high of, yeah, we packed 100,000 healthy meals for people all over the world. I know we did all of those service-oriented things. I know we listened to great messages. But is it just for the 1 week or a couple weeks after that you know, you feel that great passion to serve Christ? It should be something that is a continuous part of your life. Guys, we just can't afford to be in the middle. Like the lives of your high school mates, count on it. Like, if I were to even use the testimony that Mac shared at the beginning, as he mentioned that he was, being teased by friends at school and just entertained thoughts of depression and suicide. What if some of those people that were teasing him or, making him feel excluded from the group, like Christian, high schoolers? What if I'm thankful for the redemption of his story, but what if he had taken his life? And part of the reason was that Christian high schoolers who were supposed to be bringing him into the community, who were supposed to be encouraging him, who were supposed to be spurring him on to Christ-likeness, were part of the problem. I say that, and maybe some of you are guilty of, in some ways, of being part of the problem at your school or in your neighborhood or in your friend groups. It's so easy to be in the middle, guys, but that is not what Christ wants for you or what he wants for any of us, leaders, everyone included. He wants us to be at that place where we're living vibrant relationships with him, where our minds are transformed, our values are transformed, our actions are transformed, and people see it. Like we mentioned at the beginning, like that's what Christ wants, a life of worship, a life that shows to a lost and dying world that, hey, Christ like actually makes a difference in the way I think, the way I act, the way I, respond to certain circumstances in my life. So, honestly, if I can sum it up, I don't like these mics like at all. If I were to sum it up, to be a Christian is to be useful to Christ. To be a Christian, like a fully devoted follower of Christ who isn't in the middle, is to be important to the cause of Christ being spread in the world. I'm not saying that you're going to be perfect. I'm not saying that you're going to, cause like thousands upon thousands of people to come to faith. Maybe you will. Maybe you will. But what I'm saying is that your life has to count for Christ. Your life has to be that mouthpiece that spreads the gospel in your school, in your neighborhood, in whatever friend groups you're in. Guys, the middle just doesn't cut it. The middle just will not cut it. Your life can't count for Christ if you're stuck in the middle. No, I'm not saying, as I said, that you have to be perfect. And this is not a sermon about being good enough to be a great follower of Christ. This is a talk about following Christ where you are. Like understanding, hey, this is the place I am at in my relationship with Jesus, whether that is in the middle or not. This is a sermon where you kind of say, hey, where am I? Am I like just like dead, like cold? Am I really hot in my walk, my relationship with Christ, or am I in the middle? You have to define it. You have to. Because as I said, an undefined relationship with Jesus means an unimportant one with him. And so if I were to give you one application, it would be this. Just find out where you are. Like, look at your life. Look at the way you spend your time. Look at what's important to you. And assess, man, what is the state of my relationship right now? Am I cold? Am I lukewarm? Or am I like on fire for him? Because what he wants is for you to be on fire for him. Maybe even to take it a step further. Do you even have a relationship with him to begin with? I mean, I know you can come to church. I know you can be at your small group once a week. I know you can come to the big events like D-Town. But are those one-time things infiltrating like your everyday life. You get what I'm saying? Like, is what happened at D-Town, or is what happens at Shoreline, or is what happens in your small groups, you know, those points during the week, is that making you think differently, value differently, and act differently like the rest of the time? Because that's what it's designed for. It's not just a, you know, place to come and hang out, although that's definitely a part of it, but it should be helping you to move to a place where you're not in the middle. I will say it again, like Jesus never calls us to be perfect, but rather to live in a passionately engaged relationship with Him. And when you do that, what will characterize your life is a growing faith and a growing love for Him. So I want you to take that question and just kind of think about it like the rest of the evening, or think about it through the week until your small group meets. Where am I in my relationship with Christ? Maybe if you're not in a small group, if you're a first-time visitor, or, you know, visiting for the second or third time, we're glad to have you here. And we would love to talk to you if you're saying after this talk, I'm not in the middle, I'm not cold, I'm not hot, I have zero relationship with Jesus. We would love to talk to you and show you how you can begin a relationship with Him. And as I end, I just want to remind you guys that Jesus loves you so much. I mean, He proved that He loved you in coming and giving His own life for you. He's not excited about the fact that He gets to spit you out of His mouth in a metaphorical sense if your life is in the middle, if you're at a point where your relationship with Him isn't growing. Like, that doesn't excite God to do. So if you're here tonight and the middle is a place that you can honestly and vulnerably say that you are, understand that you don't have to stay there. You can make the choice now. I heard this one time and it's always stuck with me, and I'll just say it to you, maybe it'll stick with some of you. Do the best you can with what you have. And like, as it relates to this talk about your relationship with Jesus, you may be in the middle, or you may be somewhere in between on that, you know, that spectrum between fully devoted follower of Christ and someone who Christ has no influence on. But wherever you are, just start where you're at. Start making that decision from right where you are that, hey, I am going to follow Christ. Because that's what He wants. That's the path that will lead to joy and satisfaction and happiness, when you follow Christ fully and faithfully. The middle is easy to be in, but it's a place where your relationship is undefined. And if your relationship with Jesus is undefined, it means it's unimportant. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all that you teach us through your word. We thank you for this example of this church that found themselves in the middle with their faith being complacent and lazy and not passionately serving you. Thank you for their example that we can look back on, reflect on now and say, hey, that's not a place that we want to find ourselves as high schoolers or as small group leaders. Help us, God, to make sure that our relationship with you stays defined. And then if we find that definition says that we're in the middle, that we would make the decision right then, right here, right now, to follow you with everything that we have. Because that's what you call us to. That's the abundant life that you've called us to live. So I pray that you would help each and every one of us to do that, assess our lives, look at where we are, and determine to follow you with everything we have. In Jesus' name, amen.